Good morning, 6:43 a.m. on June the 17th. 6:17:13. 6:17:13. At 6:48 a.m. 16-minute first mile, not bad. It's a good first mile for not having walked for a couple of days. Sorry about that, gang. The Saturday was just got away from me, and then yesterday was Father's Day, and I had the family was being quite attentive, and I didn't feel right about saying, okay, on hold, I'm going to go for a walk for an hour, in part because I waited too long, number one. It was just sleeping in until almost 6, or in the case of Saturday, sleeping in until 7. Eats into my schedule pretty badly. So yeah, at 6:45, 6:45 this morning, because I didn't get up until almost 6 o'clock, and I had to fiddle around a bit. We have a coffee pot. It's a thermal carafe, so once it drips into the carafe, everything shuts off, which is as it should be. So there's no power, and there's no, you know, it just relies on the thermal properties of the carafe to keep the coffee warm, which is usually plenty, simply because it's we drink it so quickly around here. But the nature of this particular Black & Decker model is that even if you have the coffee pot firmly seated where it's supposed to be, every once in a while, somewhere in the drip cycle, the coffee forms a bubble over the little tiny hole that allows the coffee to dribble into the carafe. And when that bubble forms, more coffee falling on top of the bubble doesn't break the bubble. It sends the coffee out over the top of the carafe down the sides and out onto the counter. Now, it does this so frequently that we now keep the coffee pot in a quarter sheet aluminum cake pan, so it's like a big cookie sheet, on the counter, so that when it overflows, the cookie sheet collects it and doesn't send it all over the floor and all over the counter. It sort of contains the mess. And what I should really do is toss the goddamn thing and get a new one. One of these days I will. And that happened this morning, which is, so I was late getting my shoes on, and when I went upstairs, I found the coffee pot had overrun. And in the process of cleaning it up, I spilled the a goodly portion of the contents of the cake pan, the cookie sheet, onto the floor. So at least it was on the floor, it wasn't on the woodwork or anything, it was just paper towel time. Of course, once anything gets coffee on it, it dribbles, makes a mess for the rest of the day. So probably going to wind up having to wash the kitchen floor today. Maybe I'll write today too. Who knows? Today's also therapy day. I don't have any other appointments this week, although I do have phone calls in for the cable guys, the electricians, to run the new cable for the living room. And I got to call the landscapers about cleaning out the deadwood in backyard. Mostly it's grinder work for them. So it shouldn't be too bad. Yeah, that was quite a workout. It's a lovely morning. It's more 55 degrees. It's not terribly hot yet. So I'm not sure what the temperature is going to be today. Robins are out in force today. Nobody at the intersection. Although there's a car coming, so let me get out of the way. So, yeah, yesterday was Father's Day. Yeah, I last saw my father heading into the airport down in Denver in May 2004. He died the next year. He died in April, less than a year later. Complications from pneumonia. And frankly, I suspect Legionnaires. He was on a cruise in the Caribbean, and my stepmother was a big cruise fan, and by going on one, apparently they got significant reductions on future cruises. So having been once, they were spending a lot of time on ships. He had to sell his boat, which is really kind of a shame, because he took a great deal of comfort and pleasure from it. 22 foot Alban diesel. It was nice. It was a nice little boat. It was big enough they could get offshore a little bit. It was great for running up and down the Damariscotta River. I went out with him a couple of times. He always wanted to go out fishing, but we hardly ever caught anything. And then the warmth days of the summer out at sea in the cold ocean, it was quite pleasant. But as his, I think as his cancer took more and more of a toll on him, he slowed down a lot in the last couple years. I know when he was here in May for my graduation, he wasn't moving too fast. He was 72. Well, he was 71 then, so not even 10 years older than I am. Of course, I also remember when he was 60 and probably considerably better shape than I was, except for his, of course, for his cancer. So yeah, there's that. But so they spent a lot of time on cruise ships, and it's interesting that the per diem rate on a cruise ship is less than the average for lack of a better term, old folks home, monk pole. And that he had actually researched this was interesting to me, because he always said that if it hadn't been for the fact that she was so far gone in dementia, he would have sent my grandmother off on a series of cruises, because the staff to passenger ratio is much higher on a cruise ship. There are people who are there for no other purpose than to make your life comfortable. Food's good, scenery's good. You can't get into too much trouble. But Grammy Lowell was 94, maybe 96, I don't know. She was in her middle 90s anyway. And after Gramp passed, her dementia went pretty quickly after that. I wouldn't be surprised, but she was pretty drifty to begin with. So yeah, I thought a lot about my dad yesterday. He's a good guy. He took me into the factory to work when I was a teenager. I've mentioned this, I'm sure. And I learned a lot about work. I learned a lot about growing up and how little I really wanted to do it. Either the work or the growing up. And they always, years later, my father confided in me that they worried about me for the longest time. Because growing up, when I was actually the age my daughters are now, the age my wife is worrying over, but which I'm not, they worried that, you know, I'd be living at home forever, that I wouldn't amount to anything, that I wouldn't, you know, how are you going to make a living? What are you going to do with your life? You just sort of sit in your room and read, and you don't go outdoors and play. We have to drive you outside with a stick. How are you going to live your life? The answer is pretty much inside. You know, like there's an indoor cat and an outdoor cat. I'm the indoor cat. I really don't, you know, being outside is nice, and driving up in the mountains once every 10 years is pretty cool. I like going to the ocean, but there's not a lot of ocean here. I don't like to go to the beach. That's something that, you know, when I was real small, I'd go to the lake to swim in the summer, and then we'd go and it would be too damn cold. So I never really learned to swim very well, and I never really enjoyed sitting around in the sand. It's like, okay, we've been here 20 minutes, what do we do now? So I learned to explore the rocks and look in tide pools when we went to the ocean. Got into trouble that way. But they used to worry that I wasn't going to amount to anything. Playing with these little bits of wires and reading about computers. And nobody knew. In the middle 60s, I mean, the internet was, I was actually engaged in some of the early work on the internet, although at the time I didn't know what it was. I didn't know how it worked. But I remember Stanley Aldrich worked with this class, really, but I was the only one who followed through with it on a regular basis. And I worked on the Dartmouth computer from our little town in Windham. And the Dartmouth computer was magical because it was a machine, it was a computer that lived over in Dartmouth, New Hampshire. And we were connected to it with phone lines. It was exciting, it was different, it was a teletype machine. It was terribly amusing. And to think that years later I would make my living teaching people how to use the internet, teaching people how to use computers that were more powerful than the IBM 360s that I almost trained to help run one year. That's not fair. They're different kinds of machines. One's built for bulk process and one's built for non-specialized. But still, the idea was that there should be personal computers, that my phone that I'm recording this on probably has more raw computing power in terms of cycles per second, in terms of richness of language, than that first Dartmouth computer. I suspect my microwave oven has more. And that whole idea fascinated me to such a degree that I'd spent, Jesus, how long? Well, I got out of the guard, the Coast Guard in 75. And I worked in college bookstores for 5 years. The last 2 years of that, I worked actually on the computer at Colby to try to build a textbook database that I could use for generating orders, managing returns. I didn't do a very good job. It took ages and ages, and we only had one terminal. And I was very new at it. Minute second mile, and Monday must be the new grounds day here for the park, because it's the second Monday in a row the guy's been out here mowing. So anyway, here I am. I'm at the back gate. I was in the middle of a story, but I don't remember what it was. Oh, yeah. Working in Dieball on the Coley computer. That was interesting. That's really when I started working. And then I got the TRS-80 Model 1 when it first came out. And that would have been, what, 77? 78? I don't know, whenever it was. And the rest is history. At any rate, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.